Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who made us. We belong to God. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God and praise God's name. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Gracious God, in your loving care are true freedom and everlasting delight. Forgive us for the ways we flee from your care and deny the embrace of each other. Have mercy on us when we fail to receive with thanksgiving your good gifts. Liberate us from the selfish desires that devour the bonds of beloved community. By your Spirit, form in us the character of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might faithfully bear the fruit of true freedom in our love of you and of our neighbors. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are
forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, and then 22 to 26. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Ask the grown-ups to be seated, and any kids who want to come up and join me up here for a few minutes. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screen so we can have a special moment together. Come on up. And we got a few here this morning. Glad to see you this morning. Welcome, welcome. I want to talk about a very special word that we use a lot in the church. And, oh, I think we got one more coming. Yeah, come on down. Welcome, welcome. Bring parents too if you'd like. The word is grace. You ever heard that word before? Do you know somebody named Grace?
Yeah.
Yeah? At the a friend at school named Grace? At the 8:45 service, we had a girl named Grace, and when I said that's what I was going to talk about, she stood up and did a dance. So we're going to call this the grace dance. It's good to dance when we hear about grace. So what grace means is that God loves us no matter what. Like before you were even old enough to talk or walk, God loved you. and God will always love you, and there's nothing you can ever do that will make God stop loving you. It's so important. If we remember nothing else about what we hear in church, I want you to remember that, that God loves you, will always love you, and will never stop loving you. But you know, there are a lot of people in the world who may not know that, who may feel like God doesn't love them or that they're not good enough. And sometimes, especially we grown-ups, as we get older, we think about all the things that we're not good at. Or, you know, oh, my nose is too small, or I'm too short, or I can't draw very well, or I can't sing. And we think somehow we're not good enough. But it's important to remember that in God's eyes, we're all beautiful and good. So maybe this week, today, or tomorrow, you could take a minute and tell somebody else, you know what? God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you so much for this simple, special word, grace, which means that you love us all. You always have, and you always will. Help us to believe that and share it with everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If any of you are 3 or 4 or even 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. And Molly, too, is going. Many, many years ago, when I was in divinity school at Emory in Atlanta, I worshiped at Trinity United Methodist Church, which was in Midtown, downtown Atlanta. It was a church that had a lot of ministries in the community, and one of the things the congregation did was every Sunday afternoon provide a meal for folks who would otherwise be living on the streets, who might need a meal that day. And so on the Sundays that we had communion, a couple of us would volunteer to take communion to folks who were waiting in line for the community meal. Now, of course, they were always invited to come to worship, but many of them chose not to do that. And so on those Sundays, we would just bring church out to them, and we would take communion to them as they stood in line. I remember one Sunday I was with someone else serving communion, and we were making our way down the line, and I started to offer the bread to one of the gentlemen standing in line, and a woman next to him stood up and put her hand on his chest, and she said, "No, you don't get communion today. You don't deserve it. You haven't quit your drinking yet." And there was something in me that reacted emotionally to that hand going up, to that saying, "No, you don't get communion today." I wanted to say, no, that's not what this is about. You don't have to be worthy. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to be ready. It's all about God's grace. It's all for you. It's a gift. I don't remember what I said, or maybe it was my partner in the ministry who said something, but we made it clear that this was a United Methodist Church, and as you've all heard here, if you've been to communion here, this is an open table, and everybody's welcome. You don't have to be anything or do anything, because we believe this is a sign, a sacrament that shows us God's grace that is always for us and toward us. There have been other moments in my ministry when I've had similar experiences, talking with people who tell me, "Well, I can't go to church. I don't have my life together yet." And everybody in church has their lives together. I'm like, "Really? Have you been to church lately? Because I'm number one here." And I want to say, no, that's not what it's about. You don't have to have your life together. You don't have to have all your questions answered. You don't even have to be clear about what you believe. It's just come as you are. Everybody's welcome. It's all about God's grace. I remember talking with a gentleman when I was involved in prison ministry, sitting next to each other during the holiday meal, and he said a similar thing. He's like, "I don't know why your church is here. We don't deserve it." And I just felt that emotional response. It's not about your deserving. Please don't let anything hinder you from receiving love and grace from God and from the church. I don't know what I would call that emotion that erupted in me in those moments, but I think it's not unlike the emotion that is underneath Paul's letter to the Galatians. If you were here last week, I mentioned Paul's letter to the Galatians, and I called it an angry letter. Because Paul does seem angry. I mean, he says things like, "You foolish Galatians!" Sounds kind of angry. But I think the emotion that's really in this letter is something different from that. Because much like these experiences I have had, I think Paul is seeing that someone has come into these Galatian churches and tried to put a hand on their chest. "No, no, you're not good enough yet." You see, what was happening is that Paul had helped start these churches in Galatia. We don't know exactly which churches they were, but these were folks who were Gentiles. They were not raised in the Jewish faith. They were probably participants in the Roman religion or whatever it may be, but Paul and Timothy and some of the others had come into these communities and began to teach them about the life and teachings and death and resurrection of Jesus as the perfect and complete revelation of God's love and grace for all humankind. And they believed, and they were baptized. And when they were baptized, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the church was given birth. And they had developed these communities of faith and mutual care, and reaching out in love and compassion to their communities, and it was all going well. And so Paul moved on. That was his ministry. He would start churches and teach them and get them going, and then he'd move on to continue spreading the gospel. So he is elsewhere in his ministry, and he gets word that something's happening in those Galatian churches. That there was a group of teachers who had come in and started to say to them, "Nuh-uh, you don't have it right yet. You're not the right kind of Christian yet." You see, these were teachers who had grown up in the Jewish faith. And understandably, I think, from their point of view, they thought that if you were going to be a Christian, you also had to take on all these traditions from the Jewish faith. The men had to be circumcised. Everybody had to eat the food according to kosher laws. You had to keep the Sabbath. All of these things, all of the laws of the Torah now, you also had to fulfill. And Paul gets word of this. And he says, "No, no, no, that is not how it works. This is all about grace. God has already declared you acceptable. God has offered you inclusion in the kingdom of God, and there is nothing else you have to do. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to obey the food. You don't have to check all these boxes to prove you're worthy to God. Don't let any human being step in and put their hand on your chest," says Paul. You see, for Paul, in this one little issue of circumcision and food laws, the whole gospel is at stake. He even says, "If you allow yourselves to be circumcised, then Christ died for nothing." And so he is passionate and urgent in his plea to them to remember this is all about grace. It is not earned. Now, we know this, right? We're United Methodists. Our favorite word is grace. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. We know in our heads that God loves us unconditionally, that we are already acceptable and loved by God. And yet, how many times in the day do we feel that hand on our chest? Either those voices in our own heads or those voices out in the community or around us that are saying, "Not quite. You're not quite pleasing to God. Just, you're not acceptable really just yet. You have to be this or change in this way or do this or do that, and then maybe." I mean, how many of us live with that feeling like we've got to prove ourselves to God and even to each other. How easy is it for us to forget that it's all about grace? I don't know about you, but it's pretty easy for me. But hear the voice of the Apostle Paul saying to you and to me, you are free from that. Christ Jesus has set you free from having to check the boxes, from having to prove yourself to God or to anybody. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we are all loved and accepted by God, and we're free from that. And he says we are free now for a new life. See, it's not just that we're freed from that. We're also freed to a new kind of living. And what Paul says is that you're free now to love one another. You're free now to love yourself. You're free now to love God and love your neighbor. When we think about this letter of Paul, it is one of the most beautiful illustrations of grace that we have in all of Scripture. And as United Methodists, we are so blessed that the father of the Methodist movement gave us such a perfect framework to understand grace. John Wesley talked about three different sorts of movements of grace. Now, for those of you who've just been through confirmation, you're like, yes, we know, we learned all this. But for most of us, we kind of forgot, and we need a refresher. So if you don't mind, I want to touch on what these three movements of grace are. Wesley talks about prevenient grace, the grace that goes before us, that which is when we baptize an infant, we are acknowledging the movement of God's grace in that child's life before they know who they are, before they can walk and talk, before they do anything or become anything. God has already loved and claimed them. And this is that grace that is always pursuing us, will never give up on us, always surrounding us. Then Wesley talks about the justifying grace of God, that through what God did in Jesus Christ, on the death and resurrection and life and teachings of Christ, God has made everything right now. Our relationship with God is restored, and we are whole and claimed and loved. And all we have to do is believe it. All we have to do is accept that we're accepted. All we have to do is embrace the grace. I did just make that up. Although I think, I made it up at 8:45, but it sounds like a bumper sticker, something you'd put on a coffee cup, embrace the grace, but it is a lifetime's journey every day to wake up again and accept that we're accepted. But then John Wesley says, then there's life beyond that. There's the constant reminding and renewing of that acceptance of grace. But then we have a walk with God that continues and continues, waking up every day to renew and be renewed in that grace. And that's where our participation comes in, where we engage in the practices of prayer and reading Scripture and helping others in need and giving of our resources and all of those things, communion and baptism and all of these things. You know, this week, many of you who are members have probably received, or you will receive, your letter with the estimate of giving card on it. And we could look at that sort of thing and say, well, I better give or else I'm not going to be acceptable to God and the church. I got to do this to earn favor with God. And the Apostle Paul says, no, that's not what it's about. You're already approved of. You're already loved and accepted. What this is an opportunity to respond with your whole life in gratitude for the grace you've received. And the same is true for coming to church or saying your prayers, whatever those practices are. We do all of those things as a response to the grace that has been given. And the more we participate in the life of the Spirit and allow the Spirit to shape us, the more we will see the fruits that Paul talks about: love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, generosity, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. But all of it starts and returns again and again and again to this simple truth. God loves you. Always has and always will. It's hard in the busyness of our lives and all the doing and producing that we engage in our lives, to take time just to sit and realize we are enough, that we are accepted, that we are loved just as we are. And so this morning, I just want to give you a little gift of time. Matt's going to play for a few minutes on the piano, and I would invite you to take these moments just for you and God to sit together and for you to embrace the grace. Thanks be to God.
In response to a grace that drives us to our knees, face down at the altar, will you rise in body and spirit as we affirm our faith? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit, We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here in the sanctuary with us, there are gray cards in the pew rack in front of you, and you can fill those out and place them in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the harvest, we begin in gratitude, as always, giving thanks to you for the change in seasons, the change in weather, the bringing in of the harvest that many of us never see until it reaches our plates, our tables overflowing with the food grown from the earth. For the unseen hands that make our meals possible, farmers, pickers, delivery truck drivers, grocery store stockers, and all the many hands involved from getting the food from the fields to our plates, we give you thanks. We also know that so many people are involved with the things that make our life function. For the unseen people who work the night shift, for those who pave our roads and build our sidewalks, for those who keep the electricity running and keep our water safe, we say a word of gratitude. But we don't always live lives of gratitude. We grumble, we complain. Forgive us for not noticing the 100 ways, big and small, that we live lives of comfort and ease. God, in scary times when there are wars and rumors of war, we don't always have the words to express how we feel. But we ask for a peace that lasts, a peace in Israel and in Gaza, in Ukraine and in Russia, in Guatemala, in South and North Korea. Help aid and humanitarian relief to come in. Comfort the families of those who've died. Give wisdom and guidance to leaders, helping them to know how to come to the table with real solutions towards peace. On behalf of us who are sick, we ask for relief. On behalf of us who are dying, we ask for comfort and ease in the transition. On behalf of us who suffer from mental illness or loneliness, we ask for your presence. On behalf of those of us in prison, we ask remembrance. All of these things we ask and more, using the prayer your son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And at this time, we'll have a ministry moment by Laura Creekmore, who will share with us about our Faithful Giving campaign.
Morning. I have to tell you, it has been a real joy this year serving on the Finance Committee. And that may make you laugh a little bit. That's okay. I think Finance Committee is one of those that everybody likes to say, I would never do that. Y'all, being on the Finance Committee at West End is a joy. And it's not about the amount of money that we are managing and stewarding. It's about the spirit of abundance that this congregation shares. When we came to you all last year, when it was time for the Faithful Giving campaign last year, we had just worked with the staff on a new way of doing budgeting, where we said to them, what are the things that God is calling us to do? Where are the places that we're called to be? What sort of financial resources will it take to make that happen? And boy, did y'all come through. We have had so many wonderful things that were new to us this year, so many ministries that we were able to continue, and it was because this congregation heard that call, and I gotta tell you, I think God is still calling us. There are so many ways that we could look back and celebrate like we did last Sunday, our 150 years of ministry. And as amazing as last Sunday was, I have to say, I think where we're going is even more exciting. So as you receive your Faithful Giving card in the mail, whether you got it this week or it's coming soon, I want you to think about how much money you feel you can give generously, but I really want you to think about that spirit of abundance. Because we did the same thing this year. We went back to the staff and we went to the committees and we said, where are the places that God has a vision for us to come together? And we've got some really exciting ideas that I think you're going to want to help make come to reality. So our youth group is growing. What a great problem to have. But when we take them somewhere, we have to rent another bus. We have to put more gas in the bus. Right? So these are great problems to have. Vacation Bible School has moved to the evenings to make it work better for the families that we serve. But that means we'd like to serve dinner as part of Vacation Bible School. This all-church retreat that we had this fall, I know many of you were able to go, and I've talked to several people who the schedule just didn't work out this year. They were so bummed. We'd like to do it again. This had been a tradition for West End in the past, and to me, it feels like an amazing thing to make a new tradition. So that's something we'd like to plan for this coming year. We work with partners like the Bethlehem Center, Habitat, that we've had to build this weekend. All of those things are things that we can support through our resources. I want to tell you especially, the Vanderbilt Wesley Foundation really is depending on West End in a way they've never had to before because our conference isn't able to support them in the same way they have. But West End has really stepped in to fill that gap, and I know our work there is so important to those college students. So I just want you to think about those things as you receive your Faithful Giving card and think about where is it that we're being called today to live out God's vision. Thank you.
My stole did not want me to get back up here. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on your screen. And while those of us in the pews may pass the offering plates down as you receive them, may we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
Charles Wesley send us back out into the world after having had some time to rest in the love and grace of God. May we go forth now to bear the fruit of the Spirit and share that grace with the world, which needs so desperately to hear it. Go in peace. Amen.